sermon has a little different format than usual. We don't have our little prayers we usually do. This is a sermon for St. Mark's Day, which today is. It's also the third Sunday after Easter. This is a sermon by another Mark, our Archbishop Mark Haviland. And he primes the sermon with a reading from St. John, chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Quite by chance, at least as much by chance as anything is chance in a world governed by God's providence, by chance today also is my name day, the feast of St. Mark. Well, he's not a saint yet, though. Furthermore, the gospel for this day, by chance, is the same as that on which I preached yesterday at the Diocesan Synod. We just gotten out of the Synod the day before. This was 2010. This lesson almost never is encountered in the Eucharistic lectionary, but this week I am having to preach on it twice. I will do my best. First, a bit about St. Mark. Mark is one of the four evangelists, the author, or at least the final editor, of the second gospel, which is called by his name. All scholars agree that the gospel, according to St. Mark, was indeed written before the end of the first century. And many scholars now think that it was the first of the four gospels to be written. One early Christian writer named Papias tells us that Mark was a disciple and interpreter of St. Peter's, and that Mark wrote down accurately, though not in order, everything that Peter remembered of the words and deeds of Christ. The internal evidence of the gospel itself fits these facts and traditions, for Mark is written in rough, unpolished Greek, such as one would expect from a Palestinian Jew. But although his language is unpolished, Mark tells his story with great skill, as again, one might expect from someone under the influence of Peter and of the great events of the gospel itself. Furthermore, Mark's gospel has many Jewish turns of phrase and Semitic ideas which fit our tradition about the identity of its author. In the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament epistles, we learn more about Mark. His first name was John, and Mark was his surname. This John Mark was a cousin of St. Barnabas, so we know that he was Jewish. He worked with St. Paul and Barnabas in their first missionary journey. But like so many others, Mark did not live up to St. Paul's rather high expectations. We are told when Paul came to Perga, Pamphylia, John Mark departed from him and returned to Jerusalem. Paul resented his departure, as we learn later in Acts, when we are told that. Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them at Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, which just goes to show you, I suppose, that even saints have their quarrels. Still later we find that Mark went to Rome, where he associated with both St. Paul and St. Peter. And that, I suppose, goes to show you that while they have their quarrels, the great thing about saints is that they get over it. St. Jerome says that Mark wrote his gospel while living in Rome. The 4th century church historian Eusebius and the church father St. Jerome both say that St. Peter later sent Mark to Alexandria in Egypt to be the first bishop there. At any rate, the first epistle of St. Peter clearly does show that Mark was close to Peter, who writes, "The church salutes you, and so doth Marcus, my son." Tradition has it that Mark had great success with his missionary work in Egypt, and that he died a martyr under the Emperor Nero. The 4 evangelists traditionally are symbolized by a man, a lion, an eagle, and an ox. The lion is St. Mark's symbol. You may have been to Venice or seen pictures of the great lions on the plaza before St. Mark's Cathedral there. St. Mark's feast day is today, of course, April 25th. There is no particular reason why you would be interested in St. Mark's traditional Greek nickname, Kolobodoktylos. But I'll tell you anyway that it means stubby-fingered. It's curious that the gospel for today is not from St. Mark, but rather is from St. John. This gospel is the famous passage from John in which our Lord says, "I am the true vine." I can think of a couple of reasons why this lesson is appropriate for St. Mark's day. First, there is this verse, "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." St. Mark, as a faithful Christian who abiding in Christ, brought forth much fruit. There was the fruit that came from his missionary journeys with Paul and Barnabas. There was the fruit that came from his service to Peter in Rome. There was, if the legend is reliable, the fruit of the church in Egypt, which became one of the greatest of the ancient seats of Christianity. And finally, there was the fruit of his gospel, which still brings our world what the collect for today calls the heavenly doctrine of the evangelist St. Mark. In the Gospels itself, Mark is not directly mentioned, though he possibly was one of the early disciples of our Lord himself. But by faithfully abiding in Christ in the church of the apostles, Mark brought forth much fruit. Secondly, there is this verse in our lesson for St. Mark's Day, "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." That is, God the Father prunes the branches of the vine. He prunes us in the church, who continue the vine's life in our own day and age. Pruning is no fun, but the point of pruning is to bring forth more fruit. God sends us into the fire sometimes, but his only design, as the hymn says, is thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. If God does this to us as individuals in little ways in our own lives, he also does it to his church as a whole. Under Nero, the church suffered a great pruning and persecution. Saint Mark and many others suffered martyrdom. But the church, when faithful, has always flourished after persecution. The church is not destroyed by her persecutors, but is only pruned to make way for greater future growth. It is no accident that we wear red vestments for the feasts, both of the martyrs and of the Holy Spirit. For in the victory of the martyrs, the Spirit is poured forth upon the church. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, as the ancient saying goes. So St. Mark, in his own life, illustrates the truth of this text. Every branch that beareth fruit, the Father purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so today, we honor Christ's evangelist, saint and martyr, St. Mark. We praise God for the heavenly doctrine of Mark's gospel, and we pray that we, like Mark, in our own day may bring forth much fruit for the kingdom of our Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.